And I would like to introduce you, Brother Ken, but I'm sure that most of you know him. He has many, many garlands around his neck. He is very, very talented, and he has used his talents for the service more than 40 years. As I know, he is very talented in languages. He is very talented not only to give lectures, but to compose songs, the last songs. The last song was by him composed. And as I remember, at a workshop, I don't remember exactly, it was a seminar, and he mentioned that for him it's very important, the relationships. And I'm sure that this evening we can learn a lot, because I'm sure that he searched very deeply on this topic. So the stage is yours.
Om Shanti. Hello, everyone. Since the whole sequence of talks and many things that we've been doing throughout the year have been connected with some simplicity and being more simple, I don't know if this particular theme has been taken up, because it seems that in relationships where we get more complicated, I remember especially in the beginning, in the 80s, this place hadn't been built, and of course Shantivan not even dreamt of. But there's a whole lot of, if you ask people what was their favorite thing that they wanted to understand more, it was relationships. I don't know how much that has changed, actually. If you had three things, what is it that occupies most your thinking? Is it your finances or your health? Or is it the relationships? Most people would probably say relationships. You know, how to sort things out, because the condition of our relationships is exactly the condition of our karmic account. How we relate to others, not just, of course, relating to other human beings, whether they're Brahmins or not Brahmins, but relating to everything, especially to Baba. You know, our connection with this world is through some sort of a relationship, which has, it depends how much I understand my responsibility or what is the importance of the way I connect to people and things. That definitely determines what my state of being is like. Because we don't live alone, we're not islands, we have to connect with others. And definitely the way that we relate, and therefore the way that we interact, is the exact x-ray of our stage, you could say. It's not what we think we are, but it's how we relate which determines how we are. And of course Baba has come and has made things very simple in a way. If you add purity, truth and love to all of the relationships, they all become disentangled and elevated. But if the love goes down, or the purity goes down, or the truth goes down, then the complications come up. And I like to, because Baba has shown us how to relate, really. We know that yoga means relationship more than anything. And it's absolutely important, I would say, absolutely essential, not just important, that we develop relationships with Baba. And they all have two sides, right? Like Baba is the father, but I'm the child. So he shows me how to be a child. And also, in a way, if I have children, how to be a father or a mother. Many of us are officially teachers, right, in the Brahma Kumaris, but all of us are teachers informally. That means our example is important for some other people, the way we do things. So Baba is the perfect teacher, and therefore we have to be we learn to be the perfect student, but at the same time also learn how to teach. How Baba teaches, he's the example. You know, he always sees the highest stage. He doesn't see defects. He's not affected by difficulties or complications. He just sees the things as they are, and that is the basic simplicity, isn't it? Just to see the things and the people as they are. In fact, detachment is allowing people to be as they are more than anything, and to love what they are and where they're at as well, you know. Zero expectations, zero assumptions about people. And as a check, I often do this exercise to see if, let's take up the aspect of how Baba loves us, you know, through these different relationships, you know, the love and the consideration, the concern that he has as a Satguru, you know, as a friend. And so he teaches how he's our friend, but are we Baba's friends? And at the same time, how to be friends with others? At what level are we friendly? You know, because we have a very distorted idea of what friendship is because of Kali Yuga, right? We have it's the end of the Iron Age, and so relationships are at their worst stage. And so our references when we come to Baba about how to relate to others are not very good at all. And so probably most of us, and even till today maybe, we've got some people that we consider, you know, that we like, and there's another group of people that we don't like very much. But Baba doesn't separate people into these are the ones I like and these are the ones I don't like. He's more accessible, of course, if we make more efforts. But it's not that he's, you know, I just like these ones and I, you know, these ones are out. He's the father of all souls. Yeah. So if I divide my world into people that I love or like, or those that I don't love and don't like, don't get on with, probably neither love is correct. Neither the love that I have for the ones that I like, neither the love or the lack of love that I have for the ones that I don't like. So it's both wrong. So a check that I often do for myself, you know, people that I'm getting on with, and the people that maybe don't get along with me or don't like me or I don't like them, I don't, you know, that's not the type of behavior that I enjoy, but I have to check if my love for both of them is the same, right? And I have to check if my love for Baba is the same as my love for others. And I have to check if my love for myself is the same as Baba's love for me. So check your loves. If it's the same for the ones you get on with and the ones you don't get on with, and for Baba and yourself, and if it's the same, you're probably looking at what is called true spiritual love. just recently had a dream, and it's a bit of background to this dream, because I had there was a very popular president in Brazil four turns ago, right? And he actually was president during two mandates. But in his first mandate, I was doing some work in Lokic work, actually, in the Ministry of Planning with the minister. And I got to know his inner circle, the president's inner circle, like his private secretary, and you know, they were fascinated by him, and he was really, you know, very popular and very genuine. With time, though, power and money somehow or the other corrupted a little bit the people around him, and eventually it reached him. So that at the moment, you know, the last maybe 2 years or so, there's been a huge, you know, cleaning up process going on in Brazil, where it's probably maybe not the biggest amount of corruption in any country, but at least it's the biggest discovered amount of corruption. That you can, it's like billions of dollars, not a small amount, involved in the political parties. And so, you know, all of these people that I was working with, I suddenly, I was a little bit disappointed. You know, how could those people that look so genuine become involved in this sort of thing? And so in the dream, it was very, like even today, if you think about it, you know, the leaders that are around, like Putin and Trump and so other, you know, this guy was named Lula, right? So in the dream, I was in a building somewhere, and they're coming up an escalator, right? And Lula, the president, right, the ex-president now, he sort of comes up, and as he appears at the top of the escalator, he says, looks at me, he says, "Don't forget that I'm also a soul." And I think that's very significant in a way, because Baba is the father of all of these, you know. So he's the father of Donald Trump too, right? Is Donald Trump a soul or, you know, something else? This guy in North Korea, he's a soul too, even though they don't believe in God. So do I see not just everyone, even Adolf Hitler and so on, do I see everyone as a soul? And do I have the same benevolent attitude towards them? It's a good thing to check. You know, or do I get caught up in the opinions of human beings? And I forget Baba's opinion about everyone. Baba automatically will have mercy or compassion for the ones that are really going off on some crazy trip. So can I check that if I truly am the child of the bestower, my duty is to be benevolent towards everyone, no exceptions, right? So look at the circle of people around you. Are they all souls, or there's something else there? All of the people around you, your service companions, the ones that you maybe had some struggle with, rivalry or jealousy or difficulty or lack of understanding or all of those complications that may come up. All of those individuals are also souls, and they are also children of Baba, and my duty is to be benevolent towards them. Is that right? Yeah? Doesn't mean I have to agree with them, but I have to respect them as souls. Yeah. Now, part of this recently, I was, when people are doing not so good things, human beings generally they also don't like it, right? So if you are doing something out of the, you know, the what's acceptable, some unacceptable behavior, and you're doing that in public, most of the public will start to feel uncomfortable and they want to, you know, to do something about it, right? And so these are the sorts of... I was in Panama in a public library, the main library, doing a program on happiness. This is a few years ago. I don't know if Diego is here, brother from Panama. He was there. And in the program, it's a program, how to be happy no matter what happens. That was more or less the topic. That's the sort of topic we give to other people. We should also give it to ourselves, right? Anyway, that was the topic, and I was talking about it. And it was in an auditorium where the seats were sort of... It was quite small, about 200 people. And the seats were like sloping down. There were steps, and the stage was at the bottom, right? So it's like an arena. Anyway, it was a wooden auditorium, so the steps were actually wooden, right? So in the middle of the talk, this woman comes in and starts to, you know, walk down the steps, making a lot of noise. You know, and then I looked around at the audience and they were saying, who is this woman? You could feel it in the air, that thought, who is this person? How dare she do what she's doing? And she's with a fellow who's a photographer, and he's got a big camera around his neck, right? And they come in and bah, bah, making a lot of noise. And everyone was feeling, a little bit disturbed. And I was giving the talk. I'm the last person who can get disturbed, right? Because if I also get disturbed, the talk was over. Anyway, so they sat down right in front, and after about 2 minutes, she puts up her hand and she says, can I take a photograph with you? This in the middle of the lecture, right? And I said, why not? Come up here. So she comes up and she takes, the guy has come with her to take the photo. I mean, I don't want my photos. I can't imagine why someone else will want my photos. Anyway, she was so happy, so ecstatically happy. And then she takes a few poses, this side, that side, and so on. Right? And then, she goes down and they walk out. And, the audience by this time was, they want to screw her neck off or something. They want to sort of execute her in somehow or the other. They want to do something really, you can feel it in the air. Who is, how dare, ruined our lecture. I was picking up this vibration. I said, it takes so little to make someone happy. Didn't you see her face? And then someone said, I think you must have contracted her to come in and just to show us that example. No, I've never seen her before. But this sort of attitude, if you have a sort of a stable behavior with anyone and a benevolent attitude towards others, to the extent you're not interested in their defects. In fact, if someone starts to talk about someone else's defects to me, I feel I feel uncomfortable. I guess that's not the best, that's not the perfect stage, right? I shouldn't even feel uncomfortable. But I don't like to listen or talk about anyone's defects. And that's also because, truth helps us to remain simple, towards others. And there are a lot of truths that surround our lives, right? I remember in my first year in service, I was in Sydney. And I'd gone back to Sydney from London, passing through Matabang. And basically, 2 weeks after I got there, the centre closed. And so I was alone, right? And I'd been away for 2 years, which was very useful because I couldn't find any of my friends, right? They'd all gone here, there and everywhere. My parents were living, you know, in another place. So I couldn't find any friends. And so I knew that if I wanted to survive as a Brahmin, I had to create a community around me, a Brahmin community. So with very little guidelines, there were no guidelines actually, none. There weren't any Moolis either, that came later. There were only sort of, you know, some notes and some books. But all Moolis in those days were in Hindi. There wasn't any non-English, there wasn't any other languages except Hindi. There were no other instruments who were not Indian origin. No brothers, basically, looking after any place. And the nearest centre was like Calcutta or something. And I was into like, I don't know how many thousands of miles that is. So I had to figure it out myself with Baba. In fact, ever since I came into Gyan, except for the first 3 months, I've never been in a place where someone was more senior than me, except for Baba. Never. So I don't know if that's been useful or not. Probably useful. Because there was no one telling me what to do. I had to figure it out. Literally. So I had to understand my relationship with Baba. That was the only thing that I had. There were no friends around, you know, no family. And I had to create a community, so new relationships with people I'd never known. And you know, most Brahmins, you don't choose them, do you? None of them. They choose themselves. So probably the people we live with, we wouldn't choose to live with them. You know? Is that right? The people that we do service with probably would choose someone else. But you see, Baba has a bigger and broader vision, and that makes it sort of easy. But I mean, and there was an added element to it, because everyone believed that destruction was going to happen in that year. So there I am alone, no Moolis, no nothing, no centre. The closest centre is Calcutta, and the destruction is going to happen next week. So it was 1976. So I had to figure it out, you know. And I must have made so many mistakes trying to figure it out, because there was no one really. And, you know, those days, international telephone calls were extremely expensive, and mail would take weeks or months sometimes. So you had to figure it out. And I always appreciate, because there wasn't really anything else to go into, not my understanding of service, in fact, was I couldn't imagine a more boring thing to get than giving talks. Right? Giving talks? Come on. So my idea of service is to do shows and, you know, music and art and dance and all of that. That was my inspiration. So it was a very creative time also. Even In those days we had to formulate the what's now you is the foundation course, but in those days we didn't have such a thing. You had to figure out how to give the course, because it wasn't appropriate to talk about how Shiva's not Shankar, right? But we had to figure out everything with Baba. So that gave me such a grounding, I would say, such a foundation for the until now. You know, I can't forget those times. And when Didi Nimla came to Australia back, just a few months later, they asked me to go to Brazil, and then another. You know, okay. I've just managed to sort of dominate the English explanation of all of this stuff, and now I'm going to a country where I can't speak a word, you know. And then I got very tired quickly of the translators, so I had to learn the language, right? You have such a feeling you want to share these things, and well, the translator's not on the same page, right? Doesn't feel the same way that you do, so let me learn so I can share. But this whole thing of relating to others through service, I've probably made lots of mistakes. But to understand and how to you know, then you see where things become more complicated or less complicated. And the idea of, you know, I remember in those early days I was much younger and sort of, you know, Brazilian people are very affectionate. In fact, Baba had told me, be friendly, you know. The way you're going to relate to those people is to be friendly. So who's our example of being a friend? Is Baba, right? So instead of, you know, coming, he said very clearly to me in a personal meeting, you have to make... you have to do things in such a way that you don't come on very heavy with the Srimat, but you be friendly, and so they will respond to that, you know. So not difficult, you know. So this Baba's indicating that we first have to really see where people are at, feel the pulse, give love. And then, you know, show how the things are by example. And I remember I was a bit concerned once because some of the sisters who were coming to the center, they became quite attracted to me as a person. So I went to Daddy, Daddy, what's going on? And she said something I've never forgotten. People are attracted to you because you're still attracted to yourself. Huh. Think about that. Where does your attention go? To yourself? Then, of course, you will attract people to you. But if your attention is on Baba, and this is the big test, because one particular sister I never forget, I really meditate after this instruction from Daddy. I really meditated. And in those days, and this probably made it more complicated, when you give a course, those days, early days in Brazil, it was like a doctor's surgery, you know. One person, and then another person, then another person, then another person. So you've got a course from 8 till 9, 9 till 10, 10 to 11, 11 to 12, lunch, and then after lunch. So like that, individuals, maybe maximum two. And those days when you give the course and you're meditating, you give drishti one to one, right? Baba afterwards sort of banned that, you know, he stopped it. They had to wait till about 4 or 5 to give drishti. Anyway, it was still in the days where you're giving drishti one to one. And so I was with his sister. I knew she was hanging around to try to get close to me or something. I really became bodiless, right? And in the middle of the meditation, she starts to scream. Because what had happened was she saw a skeleton sitting there in front of her. I said, that's nice to become bodiless to the extent that someone just sees a bag of bones in front of you. In fact, Baba's the one who's attracting people, not me, right? So if that's not there, relationships are not simple. They become complicated. If it's you and someone else and no Baba in the middle, complicated. And there's a lot of heartbreak when things start to get complicated because of the expectations and the assumptions and so on. Just recently I was in Om Shanti Retreat Center in Delhi with a Latin retreat, Latin means anyone who speaks Spanish, French, Italian or Portuguese, right? Even Romania is a Latin language. But so there were people from Italy and South America, some from the USA, Spain and so on, and there was a lady there from Spain, and she came up to me, and this is a typical situation, right? She was one of the guests, right? But she'd been coming along to our center in Madrid, I think. I don't know if it was Madrid or Barcelona. And she told the story that you've heard probably here, there, or you know, in different places, this sort of story, where there was a breakup between the mother and the daughter, or the mother and the children. So her husband really treated her badly and left her with the kids. Then the kids started to treat her badly, and then when they grew up, they also left her. So I don't know who, and it's not really our job to say who's right and who's wrong, but she was so upset that she hasn't talked to her daughter for about 4 or 5 years. Doesn't want to see her. And she's, you know, when the husband actually died and everything got split up, the daughter took her to court and you know, got her share of the inheritance somehow or the other. So she was left no money, and her daughter doesn't talk with her, has got all of the money. And I just said, okay, it's a break, you know, something drastic has happened in the relationship, you know. Probably there was a lot of give and take, that, you know. There's obviously some karmic connection there, probably, or most definitely from another birth, something like that, so drastic that she told. But I said to her, don't try to, you know, Baba says, remember me alone. And so we try to forget all, you know, and you go into a state where you're repressing remembering others. And that's not healthy, right? Not healthy. So I said to her, don't try to not remember her. In fact, on the contrary, invite her to come into your head. But at that time, when she's there, don't think about the past, but try to be connected with God. And because she's a new person, she doesn't know BK language, and try to, if that person's in your mind, just put light around her, you know, try to get God's light to surround her, because that will help you in the way that you remember her, and it will help her in the way that she remembers you. So if you want to decomplicate, I don't know if that word exists actually, if you want to decomplicate a relationship, put Baba in there. Put Baba in between. Because when you give and take directly with someone, there's definitely still a karmic connection. Even Baba has said in the Sakamulis that what people have today are not even relationships, they are bondages. And he says in the golden age, yes, we have relationships. So, you know, our reference for what a real, true relationship is the golden age. How people interact at that level. There's, no one wants anything from anyone, right? People are satisfied with themselves. There's akarma, right? So you look at your relationships, even with other Brahmins, are they becoming akarmic, you know? Am I moving to a stage where I don't have any feeling of being, you know, obligated to someone? And at the other side, there's no one who is obligated to me. I'm free. So how free am I? You know, do I do things, when I do something in service, do I do it totally for Baba or for someone else because the other person is putting pressure on me, or partially, well, you know, I have to do it for Baba. You know, this person is really putting some pressure on me. So it's a mix, right? Well, this sort of mix will end up complicating things, always. Will complicate, you know. So, if you want to have a simple relationship with others, as an example, don't stimulate dependency. Don't make people dependent on your presence. You know, there's an amount of freedom involved in empowering others, right? As Baba empowers us, we become free. But then we get the power and then we sort of, you know, hold it. And you want to be free in service, don't. I mean, one of the instructions Baba gave me in those early years was, as soon as you can, put the local people in front and keep yourself free so you can move around. And I tell you, I've been moving around ever since. Heavens, I've got roller skates on my feet. I don't know. Just move around. Though, you know, lately I've been a little bit more in the same place. But otherwise the feeling of freedom is there. People, if I empower and help to empower others in service, I'm free. You know? If I become the boss, let's say, that's the problem. If I'm bossy, it's a very big problem. Because first of all, you're cutting off the connection between that soul and God. And you're making them beholden to you, right? Right? If you interfere with someone's service, for example, you are assuming the responsibility at the same time you're expecting the other person to do it. You know, it doesn't make sense. So I've seen over the years some souls, because they are so holding the center because of whatever their nature is, guru types or whatever, or Baba once, or actually Daddy said once, we're not teachers and we're not mothers. Right? Even though Baba said we should be mothers of the world, but if you're too motherly and you know you're looking after everything, you've got a whole lot of people hanging off you. And if you're the teacher, you become the authority in the front of God. It doesn't, you know. So I see people stuck in their little places. You know, guy I've travelled around a lot. 20 years afterwards, they're still stuck with, you know, half a dozen of people, and they're in the centre of it, holding things and being bossy. So we're really trustees, we are free. And if we are free, we can make others free. If I'm not free, I can't make anyone else free. So this whole idea of introducing truth and purity and love, real love, into the relationship absolutely simplifies everything. simplifies. We can very clearly see that the end times are coming, right? You know, more than, at, you know, we've been saying that ever since we got here, right? But ever since we came into Yom, we've been hearing it, but we can see very clearly, more than ever, that the world is going, you know, completely crazy, the way what's happening. Things that were taken for granted are not for granted anymore, right? And if you look at the mullahs that Baba talks about, the end times, it's all about having one support, right? And that means we have to give up all limited supports, right? All limited supports, whatever they are. Because they will not help me in those final moments. No one can help me. The only thing that can help me is my relationship with God. And so we do see in the Brahmin family, you know, what we call maybe spiritual entrepreneurs, maybe. I've heard that expression. That some people get a gathering of souls around them and go off and let's experiment with this, let's teach that, let's go here. So you've got a lot of BKs influencing each other. is that true? Can you see it? A lot of BKs trying to influence each other to do this or to do that or to... you know, we don't need to reinvent the yajna, come on. The yajna is what Baba had created from the beginning and he'll be there until the end. And all of these variations that are not exactly Sri Mat, but a mixture of Man Mat and Paramat and all sorts of Mats. Am I influenced by any of that sort of stuff? Or is the only influence in my life is Baba? That will help me at the end. So in a way it's like relating to Baba, and that's the whole essence of yoga, isn't it? How to relate to Baba and to get from him what we need. And somehow or the other, if we can't get from him what we need, we turn to other people who seem to have something more than we do, and then it ends up becoming a bit of a mess, right? After some time we realize that whoever it is, no matter how great they are, even Daddy, they are human beings. You know, even Brahma Baba, you know, he's a great example, but he's not the source, right? So we have the perfection of how others did it. And there are so many other influences in the Brahmin family, right? The big movement to become vegan, for example. Brahma Baba became perfect and hadn't even heard the word vegan, right? So whatever is going on, there are interesting things, but finally what's going to help us, I'm saying this because I'm also a vegan, but I'm not a preacher about it. Not at all. I think everyone has a right to decide what they want and what's appropriate. But, you know, what's essential? What does Baba teach us? He only teaches what we need to know to become pure. So if he hasn't taught something, it's because it's not essential. It's not essential to know about that. So he didn't say anything. Whatever he taught us is exactly what we need to become pure and perfect. And so we don't need anything else, whatever, you know, go off on the road of popular psychology. There's a whole lot of stuff there, or neuro-linguistic program. There's a whole lot of stuff. Fantastic. Coaching. Fantastic. But what does Baba say, you know? I have to use the power of discernment, you know. If there's something that can help me to come closer to Baba, fantastic. But not to take me away from him, then that's not good. If there's someone in the Brahmin family that can help me to become closer to Baba, great. But not to help me to become closer to that person, right? So just look at, you know, once Baba said the population of our heads should be 2. Right? Me and Baba. So what's the population of your head? How many people are there fighting for the same space? And the thing is that I don't know how many of us here could say population 2. I can't say that. Maybe I'm getting there, maybe, but I can't say it. We should humbly recognize where we are, right? But just remember, and this is what I always think for myself, look at all of those people that inhabit your head. Do they really exist? Or does your version of everyone else exist, or is it just your version? You know, even the idea we have of ourselves is not 100% correct. So certainly the idea, the image that I have of someone, this one, that one, is my image, and it only exists here. So let me at least, if I'm going to have other people in my head, let me at least get the true version of them there, right? And that the true version is what Baba sees. And therefore, I try to put Baba between me and that other individual. In a way, not between or around, better. Not between, but around. I surround that individual with Baba's vision. And so if I'm going to have someone in my mind, let me have the right version of them. Otherwise, it's very strange. Because I'm relating to people that do not exist except in my own head. So your opinion of someone is your opinion, and you relate to that opinion rather than with the person. It's really weird, really strange. So let me relate to people as they really are. At least that's the essence of simplicity, isn't it? That's the essence of simplicity. So all of the opinions that you have about anyone, they're not real. Unless it's the same one that Baba has. So how much time do we just waste in thinking out scenarios in our head with people that don't exist? I'm going to do this, I'm going to say that, I'm going to go there, this is going to happen. But it's all here, right? So if I want to simplify my relationships, I have to make them real. And real, true. No, real, true relationships with others. And of course, as we come back to the main topic of, that we have, which is yoga, I find that we need to not only experience the relationship with Baba more, because that will sort of flatten and simplify our lives and make it more easy. Like Baba says, plain and simple, right? Plain, not just simple plain, but plain because it's like, you know, you can see the whole, you can see everything. So a mountainous sort of relationship, you know what that'd be. What about a relationship that's so clear? It's like, you know, you can see it in all directions until the horizon. Makes it easy, right? Nothing unexpected. So if there's nothing unexpected, you won't have expectations either, right? If everything's clear, there's nothing to think about even, right? So it's when things are not clear that we have to think a lot. So in yoga, you know, the first step is to, and we know it's to empty the mind of everything except the soul and the connection with Baba, right? So it's not empty the mind of everything, but to empty the mind of everything except the consciousness of the soul and the connection with Baba. The connection is there to, you know, experience qualities and power, maybe. It's an energetic sort of thing, the connection. But the relationship is to experience the love. And unless we... And to move away from intellectual sort of... You know, if you're trying to have an intellectual connection with God, it never will work. It won't be sustainable. You can hook up, but you can't keep it. The relationship has to be through love. And so that means that I have to have a fairly, you know, good heart-to-heart meeting whenever I want with Baba. And then, you know, there's an unlimited amount of things that you can have in your heart-to-heart conversation taken from the Muli. One or the other quality, one or the other attributes, you know, one of the other titles of Baba, whatever. Whatever, some situation you're going through and you want clarity, why not? Use Baba's light to shine on the situation, and that will bring closeness, and the closeness will bring somehow or the other quality. And from the heart to heart, you move to some, you know, you come from a lot of thoughts to a few thoughts to one thought, one feeling, one something with Baba, and then you become whatever that is, and you're not thinking anymore. Just you are the peace or the purity or the truth or the love. What does Baba give us? He doesn't actually give us these qualities. What he does is he activates our love and our peace. Now it's in us already, but this relationship brings it out more and more. And of course, if I'm not engaged in service, I can't keep it either. Sort of, it comes up and it goes back again. If I'm not engaged in using that thing that Baba's given, that Baba's bringing out in me. So imagine the relationship with others has to be based on what I get from Baba and what I'm giving to them. That's the way that it should be, right? If it's based on my qualities and what I think I need to give to somebody, it'll always create some sort of an account. But if it's sort of coming through me, it doesn't generate any sort of return. This is the sort of thing that I've learnt. I guess, as I said, I've had to learn it the hard way and to figure it out. Some of you have been very lucky to have Daddy around a lot. You know, if you've been, you know, in London, I've never had that sort of experience. The only one I've ever had around is Baba. Was more senior than me, let's say, hanging around and telling me what to do, just Baba. And it's at a subtle level. So it's like my teacher's been Aviak Bhaktada for sure, no one else. Anyway. I think what complicates, and just to summarize perhaps, what complicates our relationships, I guess, is our imagination. So we imagine things that don't exist. Imagine motives of others when they don't even know their own motives. We imagine possibilities that don't exist. We fantasize maybe. And maybe we're so caught up with the image that we have of ourselves that we are stuck in that. And instead of being free and useful, my thoughts are just spinning around in my own head about me. So who's the center of your attention? We have to be Baba-centric and not egocentric, right? Baba-centric, he's the center of me. And I'm not the center of me. Baba's the center of me. So I guess Daddy's going to be... Is she here? She's on her way. So we can have a few minutes until she gets here, yeah? And then when she comes, I'll get up and she will conduct. Okay? So, Om Shanti.